him.
It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue, home to the country's first cannabis cafe. Now it's time for The Buzz.
All right. Welcome to The Buzz. I'm Sean Tackey, co-host with Brandon Emmett here, my other co-host.
Yo, yo.
And we have a special guest today. We've got Ryan Tunzeth from East Rip Cannabis in Soldotna, right?
Kenai.
Sorry.
Kenai, yeah.
So Kenai, Soldotna, it's kind of the same thing. The peninsula is what I think of.
It's a long ways away from here, you know. I get them mixed up, too. You know,
Me too.
It's surprising when you're down there. Kenai and Soldotna are actually a little bit of a drive from one another, but if you're from the interior, we kind of look at them the same place. But
it's a small drive. Welcome, Ryan.
Yeah, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're in Kenai, and, you know, we kill people for mistake in that, Sean. I'll get you back for that one.
That's fair, man.
You guys got to
send me all your bills like
there.
Unfaced. Grind my gears that way.
That's so awesome. Yeah, so thanks for agreeing to be on the show today. So Ryan Tunzeth is a man of many hats. So you got a retail down there in Kenai. He's also the treasurer and one of the officers for the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association, and he's part of the leadership of the Boys and Girls Club down there in Kenai. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I'm also on our Chamber of Commerce board, so I am way busier with nonprofit work these days than I am with my real job. I hate to say that, but yeah, we've got the retail store down in Kenai right next to Arby's, started in 2018 and just been kind of jumped full speed into it after leaving the oil industry. I'd worked for them for, you know, close to 15 years, and they were wanting to move me to Midland, Texas. And at that point, my wife and I were just kind of like, what else can we do to stick around here and try to, you know, make a wage? And it just seemed like a cool industry to get into. And the more I got into it, the more I really wanted to, like, go to board meetings and meet people and kind of be engaged in the industry, because I'm really a big believer that, you know, you got to have allies, you got to have people to have your back and you can bounce ideas off of and stuff like that. So yeah, I just got into it in 2018 and been rocking ever since. And, you know, you guys,
living the dream,
I think,
right?
We're one of the first people I ever met at a little party that Janet had thrown on the river. And
yeah, I was actually gonna ask, so like when you were working for the oil industry, like what was it your background before that got
I was like, in risk management and compliance, so I did all of our environmental, health and safety compliance, managed air permits, water permits, all that kind of stuff, and primarily for most of my career it was for a couple platforms in Cook Inlet and an onshore production facility that was based in Nikiski. And then later in my career I was up at Point Thompson for most of the commissioning of Point Thompson.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a lot of work, actually.
Yeah.
Compliance for that job, and it's like the upstart of something like that. So you definitely got your, you know, your training and your wings clipped in the right area to be able to prepare for the marijuana industry and all the regulations that we have here.
Yeah, definitely a lot of similarities, you know, in the work. It really is a pretty compliant, as you guys know, it's a kind of compliance-heavy business, and that's really the main thing. It's just managing the compliance aspect and managing, you know, your inventory, and that's the bulk of the game. So it really was pretty comparable.
Yeah, it's interesting just how much of the cannabis business is compliance, and how a lot of people who have been successful in the industry have some sort of compliance background. I think a lot of people overlook that when they get into this, that just having, you know, been a weed dealer or a grower or knowing how to make concentrates, it isn't a determinant of success. It seems that the people who have been able to do really well are also those people who are engaged with the process, know the regulations as they're coming down, and are able to stay abreast of those and out ahead of them and stay on the good guy list so far as enforcement is concerned.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I have always looked at it on the, at least on the enforcement side, if you understand the regulations really well, and you just make it a priority to run your business where you're going to always follow them, then the, you should never fear or have any risk of, like, enforcement, or even view enforcement people as, you know, something to be afraid of, because that's kind of how I look at it, run my business. I know you guys are the same, where if you're doing everything above board and you understand the regulations, you really don't have anything to worry about. And, you know, I agree with you. When you see a lot of the mistakes that were made by other businesses that did get into trouble, it's because they, exactly that, they chose to do, like, sketchy stuff. And, you know, that's going to bite
you. Don't pay your taxes. Actually, that's kind of a funny point that you make. Like, we actually have always had a really good relationship with all of our investigators and AMCO officers and stuff. And recently we've just been assigned a new individual because Investigator Chiesa ended up moving to, I think, Wasilla, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, yeah.
And so we have a new fella named Parrish. If I'm not mistaken, his first name is Parrish. And he was super excited just to, like, meet and pick my brain. He's only been on the job for a couple of weeks, and he's just like, oh, like, you clearly seem to know what you're doing.
That's
like,
cool.
You're one of the upstanding ones. And so, like, wanted, like, can I get a tour sometime? And it's like, give us a call, send me an email, something. Here's my card. Like,
yeah, that's great.
Having a good relationship with them is definitely an important factor in trying to be a good actor. So Ryan, like, what got you into the marijuana business? I mean, you mentioned that you were previously in compliance for the oil industry and stuff, but you must have had some kind of a passion for cannabis.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, you know, to dig a little deeper, it really had to do with my mom. You know, I lost my mom to breast cancer when I was 14 years old, and it was just a horrible thing to go through. You know, anybody
that's brutal,
that,
man.
You know, been affected by cancer, and that's probably all of us in one way or another, know somebody close to us that has been affected by it. It just was a terrible thing to watch her go through, and really, I being, you know, too young to really know everything that was exactly going on, I at least got a sense that I didn't trust, like, conventional medicine that much, and that some of the things that were happening were, like, killing her. And, you know, after, I know she had tried this alternative treatment down in Mexico, which was basically go get off of all the other shit that you were on.
It's okay, we'll bleep it.
Yeah, right. And she came back from that, like, with life, healthy, looked great, you know, and it was kind of in remission, and so something to that, you know. And then it came back, and, you know, obviously just took her life. And but, you know, from that moment on, I always thought, if there's something else out there that can help people manage pain and help them in whatever form or fashion, and it can be safe, you know, I want to support it. And, you know, I just kept, as I got older, I felt like, man, it's marijuana, you know, this is what that is. And so I think from the passion side, you know, that's really what sort of drove me to make the decision, because that's not an easy one, right? To leave an oil company job to run a marijuana business is kind of like, why would you, you know, do that unless you really believed in it? And that was, for me, kind of like the why.
Well, that's an amazing reason why. I'm really sorry to hear about your loss in those circumstances. Sorry to, like, make a quick segue, but you're listening to 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and you're tuning into The Buzz with Brandon Emmett and Sean Tacky.
Yo.
And we've got an amazing guest, Ryan Tunzeth, and he's giving us a little history on his personal retail that's down in Kenai, East Rip. So you mentioned the inspiration and understanding of that. Like, did you always feel that it just didn't seem to make a lot of sense that cannabis would be an illegal thing? Or, like, was it something that, like, lurched you? Or was it specifically that moment when you're like, there are better alternatives than strictly Western's medicines, potential poisons?
Yeah,
at times?
I don't know. I mean, I think probably like a lot of other people, it was like college, you know. but, you know, in high school and stuff, and throughout, like, junior high, I was a jock. You know, I didn't drink at all in high school. I didn't use marijuana really at all in high school. It's kind of like a late bloomer in that respect. And I think it was, like, you know, college when I started being around other people that, you know, I liked and had respect for and things like that, that were avid users and consumers, and just hadn't been exposed to that before. And so before, a lot of my bias was, you know, like that it was bad and that it would, you know, bring you down and all this stuff. And being able to, like, you know, observe the exact opposite and then, you know, participate in it and feel the exact opposite, I think for me that was kind of it. It's all just like, huh, this isn't as bad as it seems.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a time and place in everything. Time and place for everything, and it's called college.
Yeah, right.
But, like, no, I had the same sentiment as you as well. Like, when I was growing up, I bought into the D.A.R.E. program, Hoopla, and fear-mongering and stuff, and, like, I even...
Devil's lettuce, bro.
Devil's lettuce. The fucking,
yeah. What? I think we got a clip from one of those guys.
Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
Like, I told my sister when we were in, like, middle school that I was like, oh, if you ever do drugs, like, I'm going to disown you and stuff. And, like, she jumped into drug, like, consumed stuff before I did and experimented more than I did, you know, at a certain age. And then,
boy, if she could see you now, Sean.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Yeah, but no. Like, and it was an eye-opener. Like, I think it was, like, freshman, sophomore year for me that I was like, I'm going to take the risk and try this. And, like, a friend told me that, like, you're too type A. You need to, like, chill out at night. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Changed my life.
Yeah. You know, Ryan, some of your experiences and mine are similar. You know, I was always an athlete. I was exposed to marijuana at a young age because my mom consumed, as did my uncle, and I was kind of part of the ex-gamer community. But same thing, didn't drink. Alcohol was not something that was acceptable. And I always knew that cannabis was safer than alcohol, but, you know, didn't really start consuming until I was, you know, later in my teen years. And I'm like, wow, this stuff's, you know, pretty legit. And there's a lot of these athletes that I look up to that consume cannabis. But it wasn't until my uncle got MS that I realized just how hypocritical that the system was, because he's on all these different meds and they didn't really seem to be helping him that much. And then he got this naturopathic doctor, and the dude took him off of everything other than his medicine for narcolepsy, Adderall, and just told him, just smoke weed, dude. There's nothing else that can be done for you, and we're going to take you off of the Depakote and these other benzos and stuff like that, anti-seizure meds, and you're just going to... And it was then that I realized, like, wow, like, the drug war's got to end. At least the war on marijuana has got to end as a first step, because we can't have something that's such an incredible medicine and is a safe recreational substance that is, you know, treated on the same scale as heroin. So,
right. And I think we've gotten closer. I mean, I can remember, I think you got involved in advocacy around, like, 2015, maybe sooner, but, you know, I think we've gotten closer. But at the same time, you know, with the tax structure that we have, specifically 280E, which, you know, if people don't know,
yeah,
I'm sure you
guys
have talked about this at length on your show, but, you know, with the 280E tax structure on the federal level, and then, you know, our current state tax structure, I'm not sure that we've done enough to totally wipe out the black market, you know, to where that can actually be, you know, a safe, broad-based sort of approach, you know. But I think we've gotten close.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great segue. We got a break coming up here, but let's explore that tax structure and your perspective on it when we come back.
All right, sounds good.
More of The Buzz will continue right after this.
Since legalization, Good Titrations has been producing the finest products that you now enjoy legally with products throughout the state of Alaska. Well, now Good Titrations has their own retail store right here in Fairbanks at 506 Merhar Avenue, just off the Johansson, a full cannabis retail shop, including products in flower, edible, and concentrate form, plus accessories and an impressive group of bud tenders that can help match the right product just for you. And coming soon, Fairbanks' first cannabis cafe, courtesy of Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue, online at goodtitrations.com. License number 10827.
Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older, keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
This message is brought to you by Good Titration.
License number 20827.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Now, back to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Good Titrations.
All right, welcome back to The Buzz. This is Sean Tackey. I'm here with Brandon Emmett.
Yo, yo.
And we have our amazing guest, Ryan Tunza from Eastrip. Welcome, Ryan.
What's going on?
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Welcome. You know, I mean, it was just a break, so we're still here together. But,
welcome back to The Buzz.
Right? Can you tell us a little bit about your place? Where is it at? How can we find you?
Yeah, we're just down in Kenai, right next to Arby's on the Spur Highway. You can check out our website also, www.east-rip.com. And I know I'm talking to a Fairbanks audience here, but, you know, if you got anybody down in Kenai, we got a bunch of stuff we're giving away right now, too. We're giving away a TV and a video game, arcade Pac-Man game, and it's got a bunch of cool stuff going on, and I got a bunch of great products, too, a bunch of good titration stuff, a bunch of really good Tanana herb stuff. Love those guys. So always love to give old Sam a plug when I can.
Right.
Yeah, we have those guys as guests on
just
the show.
Week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam and Joe.
Yeah, amazing. and that's a good point. So you are down to Kenai, but there's, you know, hundreds of people that go down to Kenai every summer to go fishing. And I would recommend anyone from Fairbanks who's listening to our show, when you go to Kenai, go to East Rip. It is a fantastic shop, very professional, great products you can find. As Ryan says, a lot of the Fairbanks growers and manufacturers represented in the shop. And it's just a good experience. His bud tenders are first class. They got great swag. In fact, one of my favorite hoodies is the East Rip logo. Mm-hmm. Ryan gave me. It's a very maritime theme logo. It's got like octopus and a boat and stuff. A good quality hoodie. So yeah, when you're down in Kenai, make sure you shop at East Rip.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it rocks your hoodie all the time.
I do. I love that thing. I'm not wearing it out. I'm gonna have to get another one here soon, Ryan. I about got it worn out. So
I appreciate it, and I think it's probably worth mentioning too. People are probably wondering, it's a boat logo, and the reason the name East Rip was chosen is because in Cook Inlet and Kenai were like a really big kind of commercial fishing area. And within Cook Inlet, you have a West Rip on the west side of the inlet, a Mid Rip kind of right up the middle of the inlet, and an East Rip, which is real kind of closer to the Kenai side. So that's where it got its name, sort of the title reference.
Oh, that's cool play on words. Wow, there, nice, you know. Yeah. So it speaks to the maritime aspect of your region and also taking a rip. Maybe, might be time yeah, to totally. take a bong rip here, Sean.
All right.
There you go. Okay, so yeah, let's talk policy. So, Ryan, you know, you're one of the policy experts in our industry. He's the treasurer of the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association, someone that I've worked on policy quite a bit with, and we want to get your take on taxes. So let's take a, you know, a high-level approach. Let's talk about the 280E, what it is, and how it affects businesses, and then we can maybe dive a little bit into marijuana excise taxes. So take it away.
Yeah, right on. I mean, I would, you know, just briefly on the 280E thing, I would just start by saying if people, you know, don't really know what that means, it basically was a rule that was put in place to say you couldn't take standard deductions when you're trafficking a controlled substance. And federally, that's what we're still doing. And it really came down to a tax decision that was, I think it was Edmondson versus the commissioner in 81, where basically a tax court allowed this trafficker of amphetamines and cocaine and everything to deduct all these normal expenses.
Fancy so expenses. Yeah, like cell phones in that time.
Yeah, right. So that got Congress involved, and that's when they enacted 280E. And so that's why it exists, sort of where it came from. But how it affects us is, like, on a just simple example, when you can't, and that sort of layered on all the other FinCEN laws. So when you can't bank and you're subject to 280E, you're paying this ridiculous tax, and it's all going to the IRS. But the IRS won't allow you to get a bank account. So really odd things happen, like, for instance, paying payroll taxes. You have to pay all those electronically, or else you get penalized an additional 10%. But you can't pay electronically if you can't get a bank account, right? And so all these things sort of layer on problems for businesses that just otherwise wouldn't exist. And so, you know, if we were able to remove that section of code, or simply remove cannabis from that list of controlled substances, you could instantly see a situation where cannabis businesses would be more comfortable in their balance sheet, but also in a situation where you would see a tremendous increase in value to customers. Price would come way down. So, yeah. You know, I think that's the reason why, you know, we need to look at 280E. On the state side, the state tax, you know, I've given this a ton of thought, Brandon. I know you have. Sean, you guys have wrote documents about it.
Oh, yeah.
It really...
Yeah, we produce an economics paper and submit it to the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Crickets.
It really, you know, kind of comes down to what we have currently is a weight-based excise. And some people feel like maintaining a weight-based excise will allow us some protection at federal legalization. If that's true, then it seems smart to try to hold on to the weight-based excise. If we do that, my recommendation is to get rid of these categories of flower that we have, bud, immature, and trim, and they're all taxed at different rates, and instead just call everything the same thing, what it is. It's marijuana. It's cannabis. It only becomes trim when scissors get involved. But it, by itself, is just, you know, cannabis. And so just call everything one category and tax it at the trim tax level, which is the $25 an ounce level.
That's,
or $15 an ounce level. I think that'd be one way to sort of lessen the overall burden. If that's not the answer, then it probably makes the most sense to put it on the retail.
Yeah.
I think cleanest and easiest tax collector. So, you know, I don't know, but we've kicked this around so many times, and I know that, you know, the state legislature at some point is probably going to want to look at it as well. The difficult thing is that we're in a situation where some businesses are starting to go under and can't make these tax payments, and I fear that whatever elements that the state legislature will look at will want to remain revenue neutral or perhaps even make more money, which is not going to necessarily fix
the problem. That's a good position. Like, that's an interesting position to take. I think still the flat tax at the $25 an ounce is going to be problematic because you have various qualities levels all along there. And if you're still saddling them with the cultivator, then they're going to feel like they're being overburdened, which in my personal opinion, as someone that does, you know, taxes and CPA type of thing, it just seems like anybody's going to be upset with them having to bear that cost. So, like, even if the person that's collecting the 5% sales tax like we are, you can get behind yourself and have had a bunch of sales, but you spent all your money, and then you're not able to pay that. Same situation with the cultivator. It's just that right now the relative percentage is so high. So if it was all saddled at the price of sale to the customer and a percentage base, I feel like that would be the most equitable, because, like, A, I've got certain cultivators that'll sell me trim joints, you know, and they don't charge me any less, even though they're selling them to us as a trim product, and I know I can see it in metric. So then you're like, oh, wait, this is a trim product. Why isn't this one cheaper? Oh, they're just collecting a little extra that time. But if everything is always measured, because the other problem with it, too, is if you did a percentage sales between cultivator and manufacturer, cultivator and retailer on the percentage, then you have vertical integration where, like, oh, I sold it to them for $5 to the retailer. So having it to the customer where every business individual is going to sell it at the actual price that you're intending to sell it for, and then have a percentage based off of that, would be the most equitable. It'd be the most straightforward. And most all communities already have a sales tax that's being collected from those retailers that you'd be able to have them also collect the state's tax as well.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree. You know, another thing that had been talked about, and this sort of, you know, might segue into this idea of license caps or restricting, you know, access to the industry, was that if you were going to put the tax specifically on the retail, that it would specifically be the retails that you would look at putting a license cap on. Because that's really where I think the most pressure is coming from in terms of the density discussion, is from retailers, not necessarily from, I think cultivators feel that there's saturation, but I don't think that they feel like they're upset because there's a business next door to them.
Yeah, that's where the issue gets broad, and we're definitely not going to be able to knock it out in the next 2 minutes.
We have
2 minutes
and a half.
You know? But, you know, these cultivators, I think they do feel that it's saturated, but they're saturated at their price point. And so the easiest fix is, we got to get the legislature to be able to do this, but the easiest fix would just be reducing that immobile price floor down to a much lower number so cannabis could be sold anywhere. So you don't have this, you know, these $2,000 pounds that are locked up that no one wants to buy to put on the retail shelf, but manufacturers can't buy either. And so that is the easy fix from the industry perspective. What I think is going to be more difficult, but in the long run is probably, like Sean said, going to be more equitable, is transferring everything over to the retailers. Granted, that will benefit the verticals, but
it wouldn't help the verticals. They're still intending to charge the same price to the customer.
Yeah,
like if I have a retail, I still want to charge you $40 an eighth, let's say, you know, as an example. So then that way they're just bearing the burden of that percentage that they're collecting from that to be able to pay it, rather than, oh, hey, the cultivator is collecting it now and it's being paid by the cultivator. It's the same kind of thing. You're going to try and have something that's a reasonable percentage that's similar to what they're already collecting at this time. It'd just be all on the retailer's obligation to be able to pay it. Customer would be able to see it up front because it'd probably be on a receipt that says,
yeah,
hey, this,
like,
is,
this
your
is what you paid in taxes, you know?
Yeah, so they can see it. They don't know it now. And a lot of people don't even pay attention to it, except for the cultivators who are bearing that burden. But I'm running us out of time, actually.
Yeah. So Ryan, when you come back for another show, we'll tackle a little more of this and maybe the license cap thing. Yeah. So Ryan, once again, tell us where you're at and how we can find products at East Rip.
Yeah, we're East Rip. We're in Kenai, right next to Arby's, and you can find us online, www.east-rip.com. And happy holidays, guys. Thank you for having me on. I'll come on anytime. It was fun. And you're right, we could probably eat up a whole bunch of time talking about the same stuff we always talk about.
Yep.
Yeah, happy holidays to you too, Ryan. Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. And everybody else there, have fun. You're listening to 97.5, 6:60 a.m., 97.5 FM, 6:60 a.m. And you're listening to, and you can listen to it live on KFARradio.com. And you can also find our archive audio files for any previous episodes that we've had at KFARradio.com under the archives section. And stick around for Dr. Looper right after this.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Good Titrations. To listen to this episode or any past programs, simply go to the website and search the archives page. The Buzz has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.